A Life of Goodwill was written as if scratched on the front. No name on the front, no blurb on the back. Weird, the man thought to himself. He pushed up his glasses and opened the book to inspect its contents. The words were handwritten. It didn't seem like this book was properly published. Maybe the store owners placed it here by accident. It certainly didn't fit well in the children's section. Mr. Grant J. Gameson placed his pale hands on the spine, running his fingers down its dusty back. It had a leathery cover, a bit thicker than its neighbors but not too thick, a sore thumb compared to the lining of cartoon characters and other colorful literature. He was only browsing this corner. It had been a while since he's been to the local bookshop, owned by the same family for 3/4 of a century, crossing generations. They all know his face, a popular author for the latest in macroeconomics, focusing on international trade relations. Dry stuff, mostly. Even he knows it's dry. It's a pain to read, and his released works tend to be heavy in the hand. It's chock full of detail. You can't bring an entire country's list of agreements, past or present, with you in one hand, and you sure as hell can't buy all that you need in one go. Even if he wants to read other authors' works, there's no way he can bring multiple thousand-page books in his travels. You see, this man is an academic. Known for the vast intellect and logical demeanor, he is a prize when it comes to discussion, making trips to other places, joining panels, seminars, and other closed events. He's a scholarly cornerstone. His fans and followers in the audience tend to be other intellectuals in the same field. Regulators, politicians, and other concerned citizens who want to hear what he has to say on the topic / country of choice. But it was the same every time. Not everyone will heed his warnings. Most countries abide by the same codes, adhere to the same rules, all fall under pressure of a world the same way they have always been. He would always recommend something more unified, but the pride of men can never fall to such good-willed warnings. Unless he can do something on his own. Unless he creates a market that will listen and understand. Grant J. Gameson became a writer because it turns out the thicker your written textbook is, the greater the accountability of your words. Even if it's mostly fluff, rewritten from other places, he could convince people that way. But shorter is better, so is pictures. It's easier to remember, and colors help with that too. He remembered hearing that from a professor a while ago. "You can't play with dry paint," the professor exclaimed. "Dry paint fades after a while." "But paint that works is fun, creative, exciting, and all that jazz." Episode 25, The Goodwill Writer. Welcome to the Tempered Fables. My name is N.T. Clover. Come, sit by the fire. Let me tell you a story. Grant held in his hand a basket full of textbooks and one magazine on fishing. He loves fishing. In his other hand, he held the strange book. Too busy wondering why this book was there in the first place, he reacted too late and knocked a man passing by. He was a man in a black trench coat with a large wide-brim hat, which felt seemingly out of touch in the 20th century.
"Oh, sorry, my good man. I did not see you there."
"You're welcome," the man replied in a low hum. Grant was about to walk away, slightly oblivious to the strange reply, but a small spark hit him.
"That's not what you really say to people you just bump into, right?"
He turned to look around and noticed the man with the trench coat was gone. He took a further peek behind him again to see if he was around the corner when he heard the usual, "Do you have all you need, sir?" Thomas smiled at him. He was sorting out books behind the counter, his blue striped apron ironed out to fit, and his ruffled wavy hair pushed back so as to not cover his face. Very level-headed for his age, Thomas loves to ask questions about Grant's latest writings. He may not understand all of it, but a curious mind is always a good start to learning something new. Grant envied his upbringing around books.
"Yes, I guess I do. How's your father?"
"Ah, yes, he's doing well. Mum's taking care of him right now. A tough man he is."
The young man laughed. Kind, optimistic. Such great qualities will serve him well down the line.
"Tell him I said hi, will you?"
Thomas nodded. Immediately, he took note of the book held in Grant's hand. His eyes sparkled for a second.
"Is that your latest book? Is it out already?"
Grant looked down at the book and flipped its contents for the boy, showing the handwritten words.
"No, no. I found this in the children's section. You might have put it there by accident."
He closed it and handed it to Thomas, the leather-bound book, The Life of Goodwill. Thomas frowned, and his forehead wrinkled. He tilted his head slightly, as if confused.
"I've never seen that book before."
Now Grant is confused. Setting it aside, Thomas pulled over the books Grant had in his basket and recorded their purchase.
"Weird. We rarely have books bound in this material, and certainly not handwritten ones."
Bunching up the rest in the brown paper bag, Grant handed him over notes and coins, per usual, and was about to leave when Thomas said,
"You know, I took a quick look, and it turns out this book isn't recorded at all. If you want, you can have it, you know."
He passed it over to him.
"You found it, after all." "I don't really have a reason to have another book, you know. Plus, it's handwritten. I can't even read the..."
He stopped to see Thomas opening page 2 of the book, showing it to him. It wasn't as clear or clean, but on closer inspection, the handwriting is strikingly similar to his own. Written at the bottom were the initials GJG, the same as his own.
"This? Well, looks like it's yours already."
"Aren't you the least bit curious about this? It's a coincidence, isn't it?" Grant, however, was skeptical, and more so afraid.
"Is there someone copying me? Some kind of doppelganger? Did I catch amnesia and wrote something crazy?"
Lost in thought again, he realized he had already left the bookshop with the leather-bound book in hand, The Life of Goodwill. The fresh air contrasted with the smell of dusty pages. Grant walked out into the autumn sun of a peaceful town by the ocean, satisfied that he bought 2 books at a good price and not getting any more than usual. But the questions still remain. What is the deal with this leather book that felt familiar to him? The handwriting, the initials. What else could there be? Brown paper bag held with his left arm and the book in his right hand, he opened to the second page. There was no outline, chapter, or number. Instead, it was a letter. It read,
"Dear reader, I have lived a long life. Throughout each and every moment, I have tried my very best to be present. I worried little about my past and worried little about my future. What I did care about, however, was the future of others. The moments that were cherished most were the ones I chose to cherish. I had the choice to do good, and I chose it well. No regrets were found in such times, and no harm could be done to those I love. I had lived my life on a dry spell until I chose to commit this way, after the loss of a dear friend. If you had been living a life riding on dry lands, uninspired, and want to move to greener pastures, I urge you to start now. Maybe you don't know how to start. Maybe you don't know how to begin. But surely, with the passage of time, you will learn its marks, scars, and cliffs, and set yourself as a part of that passage. Goodwill as a choice and an action. You may start whenever you wish. Signed, GJG.
Goodwill is a choice and an action.
He turned a corner, staring at the page and rereading it again. The thought started.
But what counts as goodwill? You can't solve everything. You can't just throw money at a problem and hope it will work. Hope by itself isn't pragmatic. You need justification. It's like throwing money at the homeless, expecting them to stand up on their very 2 feet the very next day. This writer is too idealistic. Too many things need to be in place before...
The thoughts went on and on and on. He held a one-man debate in his head, engrossed in only page 2 of an unusual book, handwritten by a stranger. It could be fiction, some sort of short novel, perhaps. The last time he read one was in high school. It had been historical works for 2 decades straight ever since. Right, on to page 3.
It started with a trip to the bookshop. I found an unmarked book and hated it.
Grant stopped in his tracks. He looked around to see if anyone was eyeing on him. After a while, he continued again.
Is this a book of my life? There could be enemies stalking me. Maybe they hate what I write and are prowling to get some scandalous gossip.
Paparazzi could have left this book in the shop by accident.
Could be possible. It's the most likely situation.
Grant J. Gameson was a paranoid man. On my way home, I was reading it and had an encounter with a hero. He had an itch.
A hero? Like those in comic books?
Just to be sure, Grant looked up to the sky to see if Superman was up there somewhere. It could be a bird, a plane, or a flying man in tights. He pictured the hero's red underwear and could be seen from outside of his suit. He snorted at the thought. It was like back in high school again. His classmates then were obsessed with comic books, and he just couldn't get into it. Another point to add in the list of things Grant doesn't have in common with other people. Turning the corner, he passed a local bar in the area. It was still afternoon, so it wasn't open yet. Its neon sign streaked out to the alley beside it, where the dumpsters and trash were. As he walked past said alley, he heard a bark. An unexpected dog bark from the trash heap of a bar. It was a pug with tanned fur and a faded red collar. It was barking at something behind a dumpster. Grant closed the book in his right hand and put it back in the paper bag. He stopped to look. The poor dog. He noticed its frail skeleton of a body, and his bark, though loud, was croaked, raspy, as if he gasped in shock or did not have the energy to do it. It barked again and again and again.
Oh, this isn't meant to be my Superman,
he snorted. It certainly did not look strong, and it definitely could not fly. Crypto the Superdog looked noble and gallant. This pug seemed more like a reject character from the comics. Even Grant listened into high school conversations sometimes, when things were getting heated, sometimes. The book must have just been coincidental, a prank made by stupid journalists.
Oh, could just be a cat caught in the corner.
In that instant, he heard a small groan behind the dumpster. It definitely wasn't a dog. It sounded more like an old man. Cautious, he slowly walked towards the dog into the alley. He was still fixated on the source of that groan behind the dumpster, paying no heed to the tall man with glasses holding a bag full of books. Grant looked around the corner, and there his real hero was. Tattered green jacket, a dirty beanie, a makeshift shelter out of cardboard and newspaper, and old age. The old man was groaning and scratching his ribs, as if there was a wound that wouldn't go away.
Ah, must have been cast aside by society.
The poor and homeless were thrown away after all.
Well, I can't do anything on my own. There's no saving him, so I'll just...
The pug turned to look at him. His eyes were wide open, staring. It sat as if waiting for something. Grant shook his hands empty. "No treats for you, boy. Sorry." That was when he heard the man say,
"Water."
Grant was the only able one there. The dog is weak and malnourished. The man is on the floor, supposedly thirsty. Who else is there to go to for help?
I should go. I have things to do and... This isn't my problem. I'm not involved in...
It might not be his fault, him being like this. Grant placed the bag on top of the dumpster. It was clean, he checked, plus the books were protected. He looked to the street to find a nearby convenience store where he bought a 1-liter bottle of water and snacks for the pug. The first thing he could think of was cheese crackers. He doesn't know what dogs eat. He brought milk as well. Both of them might need it. Taking out the plastic bowls that he bought as well, he poured milk onto one bowl and water into the other. For the pug, he placed some crackers and a spare newspaper found on the floor, with footprints on it, beside the milk bowl. The pug did not move. Grant moved the bowl and crackers closer to it. It still didn't move. It looked at the still groaning man and back at Grant. Very intelligent for a dog. Grant slowly poured the bottle of water into the man's mouth. It was now laying on his back. The first few drips caught the man's attention. Desperate, the homeless man took the bottle with his own hands and finished it all in mere seconds. Taken aback, Grant waited for the man to finish his drink, probably the first one in a long while. "Maybe I'm the hero in this story," he thought to himself. The homeless man sat up, eyes closed, taking in the much-needed bottled water experience he just had. Bliss written all over his face. He looked up to see the man who saved his life. His mouth creaked open.
"Thank you. Thank you for saving my life."
Are you feeling better now? He is now directly involved in this situation.
Yes, I am.
The homeless man struggled to get up, as he was still holding on to the wound.
"How about that wound? Do you need something for that? I can go and get some."
No, it's fine. It's nothing."
He started to scratch it. Hard. "It's an itch? This man is my hero." The man kept scratching. The dog looked distraught at this exchange.
Stop. Really, I can get something for you. Wait here."
He placed his bag, once again, on top of the dumpster. The books are still protected, don't worry. And walked for 10 minutes to the pharmacy. Walking towards the counter, he asked for cream.
"I'm looking for something that stops an itch. Like a really bad one."
After a back and forth conversation about conditions, he doesn't know the severity. The person in question, a complete stranger, not even a name, etc. He was given one with the strongest concentration. On the way back, he went to the same convenience store to buy pet food. It's convenient that you can buy pet food from there. The man was still sitting down, this time holding his little companion who was wincing. Not out of pain, but out of worry. Grant brought the items over and passed it to him.
"Use this on your itch."
"My kind friend, oh, thank you so much."
Grant took the now finished milk bowl and poured some pet food into it. The whiff of air coming from the opened can took hold of the pug's attention. It went to the bowl, realized that it was really safe to eat, and wolfed it down. The homeless man with the itch took his jacket off to reveal a large blood stain on the gray shirt underneath, where the wound supposedly is. Lifting it up, the untreated wound looked abandoned, untreated, with cuts and pus covering its entirety, and nail marks scratching at the surface. The blood was ages long and heavily dried.
"Do you need help with that, Mr.?"
He is now directly involved in this man's life. The man applied the cream, grimacing with pain, but surprisingly tolerant from it. He used a hefty amount. Soon after, without hesitation, he went for the crackers and milk. Gobbled the whole pack he did, and he drank most of the carton, leaving some for the pug. It was like a mess hall. Everyone was eating everything. It took a while for him to respond after.
It's been a while. I forgot my name.
His voice was clearer now.
Oh, well, what should I...
On my way home, I was reading it and had an encounter with a hero. He had an itch.
Itch.
The homeless man looked up. This sounds weird, but can I call you Itch?
Silence came.
Suddenly, the man broke it with a laugh.
I didn't think you would be so direct. But really, that's great. Better than nothing.
Itch struggled to smile. It must have hurt to do so. He hasn't done it in a long time. Grant picked up his brown paper bag and was about to head off. Itch thanked him again many times. His pug, Soldier, a great name by the way, was panting, albeit healthily now. You could just make out a smile on its face. As he was about to turn the corner, he thought of the book again. Goodwill is a choice and an action. In his pocket, he found the crumpled 10-pound note, the change from the books he ordered just a while ago. Ah, well, he needs this more. He walked back to the alley where they were. Flattening out the note, he gave it to Itch. Keep it, and get something for Soldier, too. The life in the man's eyes lit up again. No words came out. You could see the thank you from the look on his face. Grant turned around once again and walked. More and more people were passing by this area. He could notice it. They didn't want to make eye contact. They were trying their best not to look at them. Itch for being homeless, a castaway. Soldier, pitying the poor dog. And to Grant, for being involved. An aura of gray surrounded the three of them, as if painted colorless by the eyes of the public. The public were blind to those carried away. They chose to do nothing. Ah. Grant went past that alley many times. Itch and Soldier would always be bumming around in front of the bar. Soldier would find things to play with and chew on, with what little poor teeth the little dog had, and Itch would sit around and stare at the passers-by. He was observing, trying to make sense of the people. It was a constant habit of his from the last war. He was a veteran, you see, having come back to the same town he was from. But an old friend wouldn't look the same decades after, and it's the same with your hometown.
I was a scout for the advancing battalion. We were at the front of our victories.
He said it with pride. Whenever he needed some fresh air, Grant would take walks around the neighborhood, and once in a while he would bump into Itch. They would get to talking and they would share their stories.
We had a great captain. Charlie's his name. A great one he was.
The squad had many a mission, what with every new conversation, another story by Itch, and he would share all kinds of details for these missions. They would invade other countries, sabotage armies, assassinate, all those things you would hear from a spy movie. Every mission, they would go over the list of absolute rules they had set for themselves.
No harming of any innocent lives. No judging at first glance. When in doubt, ask a teammate. If lives are at stake, make your choices quickly and save them.
His feet were together and his back was straight. Going through the list of rules for Itch made him relive his time in the war. The posture of a former life. Grant took this all in. And over time, they had bonded. Sometimes Grant might catch them in the nearby park and hang around by the bench there. The kids don't mind. They'd always get out the way. Much to the worry of their parents. To the children, it was a man playing with his dog. To the parents, it wasn't just a man. Grant had always looked forward to seeing Itch around during his walks. He needed the conversation. There wasn't anything else out there for him other than the usual grocery shopping and a trip to the bookshop. To him, this town was just a base. all of academia lived in many different places around the world, and the writer circles were spread apart. Could you call them friends? They are not that close to him. Conversations never went any more intimate than the usual updates on family and travel. At the time, Grant would get onto writing his latest book on trading between Eastern nations. Dry as an unused dish rag, it seemed. It sounded like a book you had to get for a university course. But once in a while, in his spare time, he would open a few pages of that mysterious leather-bound book, The Life of Goodwill. As he read each chapter, the book detailed the various deeds this mysterious GJG had done. Grant believed it to be a personal journal of this mysterious character, an autobiography of this man. Every moment was recorded, and every fond memory was written as if relived, reminiscing again. This man might have left it in the bookshop by accident. He'll keep it for the time being. Maybe hand it over to the police in the lost and found section. In the meantime, he'll give it a quick read. It's done. The manuscript felt really heavy in his hand. It's 4 a.m. in the morning, and the lifted burden made him feel alive. Now comes the hard part, the tour. Book campaigns have always been very difficult. He would attend academic events, take part in panel discussions and all that, and talk about this upcoming release while it's in the final stages. Grant will need plenty of time to travel. He was relieved, but was he happy? Happy wasn't the right word. Happy is what you use to describe delicious food, a great day, lovely people. He was more content. Content that his job for the time being was done. Content that another mission was accomplished. Oh, wait till I tell Itch about this. Looking forward to it, he went for a walk and breathed in the cold air. Oh, winter's coming, thought to himself. It'll be cold for a long, long time. You couldn't find Itch or his dear friend Soldier. They weren't at the usual alleyway, nor at the park nearby. Maybe they were searching for better shelter elsewhere for the coming winter. His heart dropped slightly. He was looking forward to talking with Itch, to tell him about the finished book, and to pet Soldier as it comes running to sit by his leg. He was looking forward to bringing them food to celebrate, like convenience store dog food for Soldier and cans of unperishable things for Itch to keep. Goodwill is a choice and an action. He opened The Life of Goodwill again and scanned through the pages by the park bench. He carried the brown book with him everywhere. He had read the book from end to end of this mysterious author's adventures around the world, helping the children and saving the homeless. The book also talked about certain stories, but what were they referring to? None of the titles were mentioned on any page. Assuming he was a writer, Grant wanted to find him in the bookshop. Sometimes he would ask for help from Thomas on certain passages, either that he couldn't read them or couldn't understand the context. But the stories were impossible to find. Sir, I don't think we have any stories like the ones described on the shelves. He was pondering aloud, flicking back and forth on certain pages. I'm not sure if they even exist. This book feels like it's about the future. Before he embarked on his long campaign, he took the long route around town before reaching the train station. It still couldn't be found. Grant honed in on every person passing by. He was trying to find that familiar face through the streets. His gaze went across the ground to see if Soldier might pop up and play with him as usual. But alas, not all things arrive as we expect them. Quiet, Grant boarded the train with his one large suitcase and went on his way out to the world. He gave the town a silent goodbye through the window. In his hand, the leather-bound brown book. I'm sure they'll both be fine. Itch is strong, a veteran, and Soldier lives up to his name. They can make it, I'm sure. A quote from the book came to his mind at that time. Itch was my hero because he taught me a very important lesson. There is a story behind every old cratered face, and there is a story behind every lovely dog. It had been a long time, a few months. The famed author of textbooks on international relations, the writer of dreary, dry, desert-like words, arrived back home. The air was white with falling snow, the snowfall was getting heavier, and the crunch beneath Grant's feet was prominent. He barely reached home under these conditions, taking with him his large brown suitcase, wearing his trusty top hat and brown overcoat. He looked like the modern aristocrat. Glasses still fogged from the winter, he made tea and sat down at his lonesome dining table. A single dangling light bulb hung from the kitchen ceiling. He really should replace that light. "I hope Itch and Soldier are alright," the man said to himself alone in the room. He sat there sipping, staring at the light bulb going back and forth. It looked alive, almost like a wagging tail. Behind it, the snowstorm outside was getting worse. You could barely see outside the window. Quickly, he finished his tea and placed the cup in the sink. He took some dog treats and a 1-liter water bottle from the nearby cupboard, placed them in a large brown paper bag, and strode towards his overcoat and hat. He wore them and went out the door into the storm. The duo weren't at the usual place. Grant looked around, behind, and even inside the dumpster, but to no avail. This was unusual, he thought to himself. He went to the bar inside to ask if anyone seen the homeless man and his dog living behind the dumpster. There were no replies. The barman made no eye contact and continued drying the whiskey glasses. He had nothing to say. Grant never liked that bar anyway. He walked out again and went to the convenience store a few blocks down. They should have seen him. He's come here a few times to get treats for a soldier after all. Yet nothing. Where the hell could they have gone? The storm had died down to a light fall, and it was quiet enough to hear something out in the distance. A cry out in pain. It was a man's cry. He immediately shouted Itch's name as he ran down the road, searching for the source of that sound. Itch was there, at the park. He was on the floor, leaning against the bench in tears. Soldier was in his arms. Soldier's tongue was out, limping. Eyes closed. Soldier's tail wasn't wagging. Soldier wasn't breathing. Soldier wasn't... There was an infection. Creeping dark lines crawled across his chest, collecting it in the throat. The cold must have accelerated the process. Grant walked closer to the scene and stopped halfway. Inch had just lost his one and only companion. Itch? It had been ages since he had said the name he himself gave to this homeless man. Itch looked up to see a familiar face. He tried to smile, having not seen an old friend in so long, but having lost one at the same time, his eyes told a different feeling. The tears still flowed, and their marks dried up on his cratered face. The long silence was deafening. The snowfall slowed down around the two men, and the distant sound of a murder of crows echoed through the sky. He didn't know what else to say. It was going to happen either way. Itch was staring at the corpse of his dear old friend. He was talking to himself. This was gonna happen. It's okay. It's going to be fine. He's up in heaven right now waiting for me. It's warm there. I know, plenty of food, plenty of drink. The rest of my squad is there to meet him. Captain Charlie would be there to salute. He could keep them company until then.
they could share their side of the story, and the soldier would be there to listen. Oh, soldier, my good boy, my poor little good boy. Soldier, please. Soldier, please say something.
Do you need anything, Itch? Do you want me to...
Please, just leave me. Leave me alone. I already am alone.
The homeless man continued the conversation by himself, eyes scanning across Soldier's limp, infected body, hugging it tighter. The snow was getting heavier. Grant pulled the makeshift blanket over him. Itch wasn't moving. He wasn't reacting to the falling of snow, nor the glances of onlookers, nor the kindness of Grant, the writer of textbooks. Itch could not afford to care anymore. No amount of shelter, food, and drink can save such a lost soul.
He's living day by day in silence now. He won't even acknowledge me. What can I do? I could bring him constant food. Maybe I could share the house with him. Is it too much of a burden on finances? Do I have to double the writing? Maybe there's a shelter somewhere. But I don't know, I'm just a writer. What can I even do?
He walked around the house and pondered, looking for solutions from things around him. The phone books never listed any shelters, and from all his walks, he couldn't find anything. All he saw was the dread of the public, the faces of those who ignored their begging and calling, soldiers' deer barking, and the tears from their dying lives. A week had passed, and on one snowy day of walking, Grant stopped and took notice of where he was, in front of the bookshop owned by Thomas's father.
I must have naturally walked here by memory.
His eyes were exhausted. They were welled up. Reluctantly, he walked in.
Ah, it's been a while, sir. How do you do? What's wrong?
He was in the middle of shelving books behind the counter. In his hand, Thomas held Grant's latest publication. It was unusually thicker compared to the previous ones. With a small nod and without a word, he walked to the children's book section. There he stood, frozen, in front of the shelf. The tears came out. Grant J. Gameson stood crying in front of the children's section. The sniffs, the teardrops, and the shaking of the man echoed in the room. He broke down and leaned onto the bookshelf, shoulders hunched and in grief. The other patrons made glances at each other, confused at the middle-aged man crying in front of the children's books. Slowly, they backed out of the area. As he knelt, he felt something fall out of his coat pocket, the leather-bound book. In a fit of rage, he threw the book across the wall. They were all true. The words, the prose, the message. Everything was accurate. He guessed it during the book tour, shuffling through the pages in his breaks and nights at the hotel. These weren't predictions or crazy stories. The book was a retelling of his life. There is a story behind every old cratered face, and there is a story behind every lovely dog. But all lives must cease to breathe in the course of time and step down from their role as carriers of their fate. Yet the story can still exist beyond our lives. You know what you must do. Something thumped him right on the head. A children's book. It fell off the shelf. On the front cover, there was a picture of a pug, just like Soldier. It wore a red sash, and its eyes smiled at the broken man. The background was a mix of forests and deserts, snowstorms and cities. The title read, Dog Dreams. You know, why don't people tell stories about the soldiers? They're the real heroes, like Itch or Soldier.
What if...
He took the book in front of him. Striding towards where Thomas was, he slammed the book on the counter.
Thomas, do you have more of these?
Well, yeah, it was where you found it.
Oh, right.
He blushed a strange look for an older man and walked back to the children's section, bringing back with him 5 more books of the same series.
I'd like to buy all of these.
Children's books? Sir, are you having a family?
No.
It's for my nephews. Yes, nephews.
He shook the books in his face.
Now hurry up and let me get them.
Shocked, still, Thomas scanned the books in. Grant was tapping his feet the entire time. He was unusually impatient, so impatient to read a book. Not one on the state of the world or on relations between different countries, but of cartoon dogs and their adventures, what they dream about, what they get excited about, the small, simple things instead of things that move the world.
Right, that'll be $43 and... Taking out wads of crumpled large notes from his pockets, he placed it on the counter and said,
"Keep the change."
Quickly grabbing the brown bag of new books, he walked out of the shop and hurried home. With water boiling on the way, he prepared his table for a long night. He had snacks on the side and pen and paper. This brown leather bound book was on the table too. A sudden gust of wind came in from the one open window in the house, and as Grant went and closed it, the wind blew the book open. The opened page started with the line, "Herein lies the start of our adventures, friend."
Come on in, step right up, come and get your book signed. Our biggest guest is here. The author of the popular Captain Itch series is here to sign your books, have a long talk and everything else. He's here to answer all your questions.
Captain Itch and Soldier the Dog was a huge success. Long lines of parents brought their children, their copies eagerly glued to their chests, to finally meet the face behind these adventures. Grant J. Goodwill, a lovely, smiling, middle-aged man with a laugh that warms the heart.
"Welcome, welcome, little child. Are you a fan of Captain Itch as well?" he said with such a big smile on his face. It was obvious from the book she was carrying in her hand, but it's nice to start a conversation with something easy. The child nodded with such enthusiasm, she couldn't think of what to say. The parents were urging her to pass the book to him, but she was so excited that she froze.
"Go on, he can sign it for you. Don't worry, Mr. Goodwill doesn't bite."
As the little girl, with the help of her parents, slowly passed the book over to Mr. Goodwill, he wrote his signature on the front, smiling the whole time. The signature itself came of a small sketch. The smile of an old man and his lovely dog. The announcer continued over the speakerphone.
"Born Grant James Gameson, he was a writer of many dry textbooks. But after a sudden change of heart, he started writing for children. Through the success of the first Captain Itch series, he changed his last name to Goodwill to stay on course for his mission to write and teach kids how to take care of the world."
The line stretched longer and longer, with more kids waiting in line with different books in the series. Captain Itch and Soldier the Dog in The Bookshop of Wonders. Captain Itch and Soldier the Dog in Soldiers Barking Battles. Captain Itch and Soldier the Dog versus Whiskey, the Evil Barkeeper. And Captain Itch and Soldier the Dog in The Captain's War. In between each autograph given, Grant gave his face a quick break. Phew! It's tough to smile all the time. Plus, his hand hurt from signing all these books. But he was happy, grateful for the chance. He knows that over time, these kids will learn the lessons taught in these books. It was already taking shape. Children donating food and change to the homeless, shelters nearing completion, and smiles from all the passersby. He's heard it in the news and from the voices of those around him, plus the fan mail too. By the end of the event, he was exhausted. He took a few minutes to himself and laid his head down on the table. Footsteps came up close to him, heavier than the usual light ones a child would have. Must have been a parent waiting for an autograph. Grant rose up to greet the fan. "Hi there, a fan of Captain..." It was a familiar face, albeit taller and older than before. He was sporting a light stubble, a navy blue sports jacket, and a black button shirt tucked into his slacks.
"Oh, Thomas, it's been so long since I've seen you."
"Yes, yes it has. How have you been, sir?"
"Fantastic. The children love the latest installment," and
he noticed Thomas holding the latest book by his side. Captain Itch and Soldier the Dog and Saving Thomas the Bookman.
"I take it this is me."
It was the same optimism as before, though the laugh was reserved compared to his times manning the bookshop.
"Why, yes. I found inspiration from my times talking to you. I just, forgot to ask you permission, maybe."
Thomas passed the book over to his favorite author to sign it.
"So you did read it. I've always thought your favorite was my textbooks. You've always asked about them."
"Well, they are really good. I use them in the classes I teach." He took out his ID card out of his shirt pocket to show him.
"I'm a professor now, here to continue your legacy."
He beamed, proud that he could follow Grant's footsteps. The man smiled in return.
"That's amazing, Thomas. I knew you were going to do something great."
He reminisced back to the old times he wrote for his field. It's been years since he had left the world of academia. Thousands of professors and intellectuals were outraged at him.
"It's dry. Everything here is as dry as a desert," he would say. "I'm going to go help the kids."
Those were the last words he uttered at his final panel discussion he was invited to. Academics mingled with academics and chose only to speak with each other. But what about the common people? Who's going to teach them about what to do? And so he left. That was 6 years ago.
"If you're writing something, Thomas, let me know. I want to get the first copy."
They shook hands. He added something extra special in the signature for Thomas's copy. A sketch of the bookshop where the bookman worked.
"Of course. I will mail one straight to you once I'm done."
As they said their goodbyes, he said one final comment to the now children's book author.
"I guess that little book helped you out, didn't it?"
And Thomas walked away with a smile. Beside him, as always, the leather-bound book laid in his bag. It was tattered now, from being carried everywhere, opening and reading it too much. Grant took it out and inspected its words again. Goodwill is a choice and an action. Here lies a true soldier, with his trusty dog named Soldier. Strong, resilient, a remnant of the war. He stood against life in the face with a smile. In memoriam. The tombstone stood strong, just like its owner. Grant, leaning on his wooden cane, laid two bouquets of gladioli, one for Itch and one for Soldier. They found his true name. After years of searching, Grant traced back the veteran's origins through the war records, a national archive of soldiers and their whereabouts. His was especially difficult to find, but they did, just in time for the funeral. He loved the book. It brought the smile back to him again, and with that came enough for shelter and food. The now old writer stood there for some time in the morning rain. His hand was shaking on his cane, and his black umbrella held away the tears of the sky. It didn't help. It rained beneath it as well. His eyes welled, staring at the written name. There was nothing else he could do. Grant
was getting too old to move around. Every step ached, and his cane wasn't much help. Still, he needed to walk around town. He observes, it's a habit from his previous job as a writer of the world. Now he still observes, the smiles of children, the harmony of family, the ambience of the city. And the homeless, they are still there. They are still around. But they have hope. They have another day. They can survive. They are soldiers fighting their own wars. Grant had fought his own wars, writing about these people. His mission was over. He had taught a generation how to save lives. And what now? The empty book laid in front of him on the table. It looked the exact same. He found it in an antique shop on the other side of town. Could it be a coincidence? Either way, he had to do this. It was the last task he had in this world. I modeled my life after you, whoever you are. The least I could do is preserve that life. He was talking to himself, pen in hand, in front of the leather-bound book. He had lost the original copy in his travels, but it didn't matter by then. Grant had already memorized all of it. And he began. The last page he finished was the beginning. The letter addressed to the reader. He knew it word for word. He could recite it, as he did when he wrote it again. Dear reader, I have lived a long life. Throughout each and every moment, I have tried to be present. I worried little about my past and worried little about my future. What I did care about, however, was the future of others. The moments that are cherished most are the ones I chose to cherish. I had the choice to do good, and I chose it well. No regrets were found in such times, and no harm can be done unto those I love. If you have been living a life riding on dry lands, uninspiring, and you want to move to greener pastures, I urge you to start now. Maybe you don't know how to start. Maybe you don't know how to begin. But surely, with the passage of time, you will learn its marks, scars, and cliffs, and set yourself as part of that passage. Goodwill is a choice and an action. You may start whenever you wish. GJG. He signed, and that was that. A peaceful feeling came over him. I'm ready now, God, whoever you are. He took his cane and slowly made his way over to his bed. The bedside candle still lit. It was the last light in the house. Thoughts of his life rushed through his mind again. His words, his friends, his readers. It was okay. There was nothing left to live through. He was satisfied. He blew out the candle and laid in his bed peacefully. His breathing slowed and slowed and slowed. And there was no sound left. Grant James Goodwill was finally ready to see Itch, Soldier, and the rest of his friends. And that is the end of the tale. Until next time, friend, I'll... Wait a second. What is this? A spark? An extra page? That never happened before. Let's see what this is. The figure stood in the middle of the dark home. He peeked into the bedroom door. The old man laid peacefully in his bed. Even in death, even in darkness, old Grant had such a lovely smile on his face. The figure nodded with a tip of the large white brim hat he was wearing. With a low, strange hum, he said, May time carry you safely through these ages.
Closing the door, he went to the center of the house to find a leather-bound book that was freshly written. He hid the book in his trench coat, and in its place he laid a small card. With a quick, powerful snap of the fingers, he opened the front door, now glowing bright blue for some strange reason, and left the house. Where is he going, I wonder? He walked and walked, passed by different parts of the town, which went by in a blur. The seasons changed sporadically, and the sun and moon went over the skies in such an alarming rapid rate. Everything was moving in reverse. It went back to normal when he arrived at the bookshop. Time now moved in seconds once again. A mysterious man entered the shop, undetected by young Thomas as he was too busy sorting up books in the shelves. He reached the children's section and carefully placed the book into the shelf at eye level. The only other patron was too busy browsing the fishing section, just right beside it. It was only a moment soon after that the patron noticed a strange leather book in the children's section. The figure smiled. He looked at him, the middle-aged man with the basket of textbooks and one magazine on fishing. He must love fishing. The man wasn't smiling, but soon he will.
Oh, sorry, my good man. I did not see you there.
You're welcome. The patron backed into him by accident, not really looking at where he was going. He was too busy examining the contents of his newfound gift. The man immediately walked away out of sight. He had already left the building when the one manning the counter had called for the man. With another quick, powerful snap of the fingers, he turned the corner of an alley nearby and was gone without a trace.
Who is this man? What does he want? What is he doing? Why did he set things in motion this way? All that we know, my friend, is that the small card from before, it was written with the words,
"With utmost wishes, the temporal thief."
Looks like someone's been messing around with time in this book. We'll have to figure out who this thief is. He must be a friend, though, sharing good across the ages. Alas, that is the end of the tale. Until next time, my friend, I'll be waiting by the fire. Always.
Hey there, Norman here, and thank you for listening to this special episode. And by special, I mean long. Oh, Lord. Well, where do I start? This story was in the making for a year plus, I believe. The different inspirations spanned throughout multiple years, so yeah, I could finally finish it now. So let's go through some of the inspirations. The first one is my degree. In Australia, I did my bachelor's degree. The degree's name is the Bachelor's of International Studies, majoring in International Relations. You can tell that the inspiration came from the textbooks and the lectures and all the seminars that I attended when I was doing this degree. It's not exactly the most poetic field. Tons of dry information. If you're really interested in different international relations stuff, it makes sense. It's great. But sometimes you need a little bit of creativity. It's a bit difficult to be creative when you're talking about trade agreements and, you know, things like that. It was a lack of a personal narrative, so I wanted to make the journey for this character to be from somewhere dry to somewhere meaningful or injected of a little bit more humanity, that kind of thing. So, yeah, that's how that started. Another thing is the homeless. I tend to write about homeless people in some of these episodes. This one was from this interaction that I've had with this homeless person. I'm not actually sure if I've shared this story before, but to just in case I actually did, I'll give a quick recap. In Sydney, December 2016,
I was in Australia for 9 days to work on building a team for a business. And my mind was so inspired and motivated to do this that when I was on my way back to the hotel alone, I passed by this homeless man, and his dog. I gave him some money, and then I crossed the street, and I saw a $10 note. $10? It was $10. Yeah, $10 note on the floor. It was crumpled, like really bad. I think someone stepped on it. But anyway, I picked it up. The first thing that I thought of was, hey, this is money for coffee tomorrow or something like that, like breakfast or whatever. But an even more powerful thought was, do I need this money? And I'm standing there looking at this crumpled note and just staring at that thought, well, the notes, and thinking about the thought that I just had, where do I need money? And I started to question my relationship with money at that point, because this $10 note can help that homeless person across the street survive. It'll give him a meal for another day, or maybe even two. To me, it's just change. Like, I can easily use up $10 in a day, but for him, he can survive another day. So the value of this $10 note was worth more to him than it is to me. So I started to question my relationship with money at that time. And as a result, I decided to cross the street back, like cross the road again, back to where I was, and give him the crumpled $10 note. And I got to talk to him. So it was a very meaningful event for me. A very, very powerful lesson for me to always question my relationship with money and to not make it the better. Like, money's not my boss, you know, it is only a tool. And to not be so greedy over wealth. I guess I was really mindful in that moment, so to be reminded of that incident is something very, very important to me. I guess that showcased a lot in this story. Another thing is the different cities that I visited as well, so Sydney and in Bristol, looking into their bookshops. And I was just thinking about how colorful it is and the different premises, which I guess built up the ocean town that I was thinking of. And having those bookshops open and visiting them regularly, I guess I could easily visualize Thomas being a bookkeeper. So yeah, that's pretty much it. This is always something to do with philanthropy in some way. So I'm starting to realize that the focus of my narratives recently has been narrowing down, which is either a good or bad thing, depending on how you look at it. But for now, it's okay. And yeah, that's pretty much it. No textbooks or macroeconomics people were harmed in the making of this story, just in case. I don't want anyone from these fields to start a riot against me. IR is still pretty fun to read. It's just not as, you know, provocative or emotional. I need a personal narrative now. It's kind of hard to look at politics or IR without needing like a story. One thing that I wanted to share. Normally, I don't really share blunders in the script, but I just really wanted to share this one. So here it goes. In the scene where Grant had already become Goodwill and he was signing autographs for the children, there's that scene where the little girl was so frozen that she didn't know what to say. And the parents said, you know, like, oh, don't worry, he can sign it for you, blah, blah, blah. I wrote in the notes, besides these two characters, the parents, for some reason, I forgot the words for father and mother, and I wrote these characters' names as normally you would say, like, father of child or whatever. I wrote these characters as male parent and female parent. So it really made me laugh, because I needed these words in there to give me direction. I need, like, vocal direction, right? But I just... it just made me laugh a lot when I was just pre-reading the script, and it just said, male parent says, don't worry, child, he can sign it for you. And then the female parent says, hey, we won't bite. And I wish I could make a conversation where the child would say, like, oh, thank you, male parrot. Thank you, female parrot. I'm so sorry. That was pretty random. Anyway, yeah. Me and my partner laughed so hard for like 10 minutes straight, but I just felt like sharing that. I really had fun doing this episode. I really do. Right, a couple of things. I will be taking a break for about 2 to 3 weeks due to work commitments. I will be away from the microphone. So unfortunately, I won't be able to record anything. This is a good chance for me to recuperate and think about restructuring the podcast in general, because I realize the quality of my writing has been decreasing a lot since I've been doing 2 stories a week. And I don't want to rush myself so hard to meet a deadline, because I want to enjoy writing these stories. I might change it to 1 story a week and see how things go. Oh, sorry. I'll be taking a break for a month and we'll come back to releasing new episodes on the 22nd of April. Yes, on the 22nd of April, I will come back with new episodes. It will most likely change to 1 episode a week, just to accommodate for certain things. I have to take time off to dedicate myself to releasing another project, so I'm really sorry if anyone else is looking forward to hearing more stories. Don't worry, if you wait for a month, then you'd expect to hear higher quality stories when I come back. So, yeah, that would be great. Anyways, yes, next story will be on the 22nd of April. We'll see when it gets close to the date. But, yeah, my dear friend, thank you for taking the time to listen to everything until now. I really appreciate you listening to my stories. Like, these are vulnerable parts of me that I'm willing to narrate out and perform. And to see or to know that you've enjoyed them is, well, heartwarming for me. It really is. I hope to be able to make more stories and be able to feel your support more often, which would be great. I am restructuring a few things in my life personally to accommodate for more Tempered Fable stuff, which would be great. And it's becoming more interesting from my side. Releasing Tempered Fables episodes has opened up a few doors in my life, so I really do appreciate that you are listening to my podcast. So thank you. From the bottom of my heart, thank you. As always, I will see you, well, in a month. Yeah, in 1 month, I will see you by the fire. Norman, out.
If you'd like to keep up to date on the latest information, do check out temperedfables.com. Alternatively, you can also check out our social media, Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. Episodes are released every Monday and Friday. This podcast is hosted, created, and narrated by Norman T. Chella. During the day, he's a freelance writer and speaker. And during the night, he makes stories. He also does voice acting for commercials, audiobooks, and other real-world things. For more information, do check out normanchella.com. Sound effects are obtained from zapsplat.com. Hey there, just letting you know that some songs are used under the Creative Commons license and are obtained from Kevin MacLeod of incompetech.com. Hard Boiled, Opportunity Walks, Luminous Rain, Simple Duet, Anguish, Almost New, Past the Edge, Angel Share, Pepper's Theme Full Mix, Mesmerize, Moonlight Hall, and that's it. Check it out at incompetech.com. Thanks, Kevin.